And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Aren't you grateful for our worship team and how they lead us in the worship of the Lord? Me too. You may have noticed on the screen, we have a new projector in the last few weeks, thanks to Matt and RJ and a number of people for putting that together. You may have noticed that there is some glare and it kind of goes in and out. We thought we took care of everything, but the sun is shining off a windshield outside. It's coming right through the window, and it sometimes leaves a glare. So that's why people open the door and they close the door, and you see that. So we're going to remove all the windows in our whole facility this week. So we won't have to worry about that anymore. Anyway. Today we're talking about something that lasts forever from Isaiah chapter 9. So let's bow our heads and talk to the Lord. Mighty God, thank you for the way that you love us. Thank you for the way that you move us from where we are to where you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, even sometimes when we go kicking and screaming from where we are to where you want us to be. So encourage us, strengthen us, remind us of your power, and help us to experience just a little more that wonderful gift of being where you want us to be. And for that, we'll thank you forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, did you know that every civilization has some kind of understanding of everlasting life? No matter where you go, you can discover this. Australian Aborigines pictured heaven as a distant island beyond the western horizon. The early Finns thought it was the distant island in the faraway east. Mexicans and Peruvians and Polynesians believed that they went to the sun or the moon after death. Native Americans believe that in the afterlife, their spirits would hunt the spirits of the buffalo. In an ancient Babylonian legend, the Gilgamesh epic, this legend refers to a resting place of heroes and even hints at a tree of life. In the pyramids of Egypt, some embalmed bodies had maps placed in them as guides to the future world. The Romans believed that the righteous would picnic in the Elysian fields while their horses grazed in fields nearby. And Seneca, the Roman philosopher, said, "The day you fear as the last is the birthday of eternity." Now, although these concepts of the afterlife differ dramatically, the unifying testimony of the human heart throughout history is a belief in life after death. Anthropological evidence suggests that every culture has a God-given innate sense of the eternal, that this world is not all there is, that there must be something more out there, that we cannot simply be satisfied with the trappings of this world. Now, 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah addressed this great need in the human soul when he prophesied about the coming Messiah in Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to look at this passage quite a bit over the next few weeks. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," everybody say everlasting,
"everlasting,"
"and Prince of Peace." Now here we read about the Everlasting Father. I believe the reason why societies all throughout history have an understanding that there is some kind of life after this life is because God made us this way. That is, God wired us to be like this. We were created with a sense of something bigger than only what we can see and taste and touch and feel and hear on this planet right now. And in the absence of truth, we human beings still feel the need to understand and interpret this sense that this life is not all that there is. You may have heard this phrase before. When you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Well, since we have this innate understanding that things are eternal, given to us by God, we human beings tend to see things eternally. even if we may get the details about eternity wrong. So in hopes of keeping us all understanding God's truth to avoid falling into the many misunderstandings that are out there these days, as we prepare for Christmas, let me share some forever truths about our God with you, the God who is eternal, the God who is everlasting, for this is the God you celebrate arriving on the first Christmas night. One truth about this God is that God is the only eternal one. The only eternal one. You may remember the account of God's man Job. After all the testing and tragedy and loss and heartbreak, and after all the questioning of God and his power, Job wondering if God really knew what he was doing in these circumstances, God responds to Job like this: "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me, Job, if you understand." See, God's being a little sarcastic to Job there, but he says this because Job and the whole gang who are surrounding him have doubted God's wisdom. They, the creation, were doubting the immortal, invisible, God only wise. Do you remember that hymn? In light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, the most blessed, the most glorious, the ancient of days, almighty and victorious, whose great name we praise. They were questioning that God. He reminds us how much we humans don't know in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where the author, who we call the teacher, says this: "God has also set eternity in the hearts of people, yet they cannot understand what God has done from beginning to end." So God placed in the hearts of people a sense of this world which has gone on before us, and a world that lasts forever after this life, but we just can't get a total grip on all God has done before and after, because God's the eternal one, and we're the non-eternal ones. That is, we've not been around since before the beginning like God. That is to say, God has placed within us an understanding of the forever of eternity, but we can't get our arms around it. That this world and its history and future is just too big for us. But even if it weren't too big and we could understand it all, it would never satisfy the eternal longing of our souls. Although enormous and impossible to tame, this world is simply not enough for us. We need more. We need a forever. That's why our society wants to look younger all the time, through nips and tucks and fad diets and juicers, which promise to fill us so full of antioxidants that we'll live longer than Methuselah, or at least longer than the Rolling Stones. And it's why we feel guilty when we don't answer their call to get the product and begin the Fountain of Youth experience ASAP. We innately know that there's more to this life than this life, and we want to stay around long enough so we can discover whatever it is, but we can't discover it that way. Jesus wants to spend forever with us. He created Christmas so the process of getting us back to him could begin. Remember, we're wired to want to become a part of forever with the one who created forever in the first place. That's a pretty good reason for the season. Now, he's not only the eternal one, but God is also ultimate clarity. Because when God comes on the scene, everything becomes clearer. God is the biggest spotlight on the biggest stage for the biggest reason ever: to bring us back home. God brings his forever light so we never have to be confused in the dark. It helps us see our position before God clearly. And what's our position? Well, without God, we are lost in our own sin. And what is sin? Well, Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley, the first Methodist who quite literally rescued her son from the flames when the family homestead caught fire, says this about sin: "Whatever weakens your reason impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes away the passion of spiritual things." That for you, or whatever increases the authority of your body over your mind and heart, that thing for you is sin. God's light not only illuminates our position before God, but it illuminates what he did about it. When God arrived as a little baby in a feeding trough 2,000 years ago, his purpose became a little brighter to us. God wasn't going to send some angel lackey to do the hard work. Instead, God was going to do the hard work involved with coming to get us himself because God loves us. He knew our sin created a wall between us and him. And his death on the cross, which comes about 33 years after that first Christmas story, was broken down. That wall was broken down so our way to God could be cleared. God is ultimate clarity. What's clearly lighted at Christmas? What's lit up for all to see? This is, God loves you so much that he came back to get you himself. He made the trip on his own dime because he loves you completely. So God is the only eternal one, and God brings ultimate clarity to our life situation, but also we need to remember God is ultimate complete love. King David says to God in Psalm 4, "Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love." Paul tells the church at Ephesus in the letter to the Ephesians, "In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that God lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." Friends, please remember, God's love never fails us. Ever. But it's hard to believe that God could love us that much, isn't it? I mean, if we're honest, even the most mature believers among us must have said at one time or another, there's no way God could love me after that fill-in-the-blank thing I did, or said, or thought. Sometimes it's hard to believe that God would bother with us at all, isn't it? Consider this. Consider thinking about it this way. For some of us, this is a recent illustration, and for others of us, this is a little further back in our history, I know. But how many times have you ever had your little child or grandchild, or maybe even great-grandchild, in the midst of a cold, runny nose, red cheeks, fever, right? Coughing and hacking, phlegm infested, etc., etc. Do you get the picture of what I'm trying to say here? How many of you have ever had your child or grandchild or great-grandchild run up to you while they were feeling this way? While you were sitting in a chair doing something else and say, "I love you, Mommy. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Granddad. I love you, Grandmom. I love you, Great-Grandmom," and proceed to plant a big, wet, germ-infested, slimy, gross kiss right all over you. Do you remember that? Oh, man, my kids used to do that all the time. I got slimed regularly. I mean, snot everywhere. Ugh. But I'll tell you this, I wouldn't trade that for the world. To have my kids tell me that they love me no matter how they feel is the gift that just keeps on giving. So if we won't push our kids away at their slimiest moments, why would you think that God would push you away at your slimiest or sinnerest moments? Sinnerist is the latest word I just made up. What is sinnerist? Well, it's an adjective. It describes one's life when in deepest rebellion toward the creator of the universe. Folks, God will never push you away. Oh, how he loves you and me. Always. At Christmas, we celebrate the one who is forever, the one who stepped out of eternity and into time so we could have a chance to come back to the one who loves us. Because of his love, God is always with us. Think of it this way. Leonard Sweet is a prolific author, theologian. He writes one book before breakfast and one book after dinner every day of his life. It's unbelievable. Anyway, he tells of one tribe of Native Americans who have a unique practice for training their young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, this boy is placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family and his tribe, but on this night, he was blindfolded, taken miles away, and when he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of thick woods all by himself all night long. Yikes, right? Think about it. Every time a twig snapped, he probably visualized a wild animal getting ready to pounce. Every time an animal howled, he imagined a wolf leaping out of the darkness. Every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound it masked. No doubt it was a terrifying night for many boys. But after what seemed like an eternity, though, the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. And looking around, the boys saw flowers and trees and an outline of a path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing hidden just a few yards away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father. He'd been there all night long, protecting him. Can you think of any better way to learn how God allows us to face the tests of life? God is always present with us. God's presence is unseen, but it is more real than life itself. He does this being present at all times because he loves us completely and because he is the eternal Father. God never fails. So, our God is eternal. Our God is the ultimate clarity of our life situation. And our God is complete love. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote this: "The stars shine over the mountains. The stars shine over the sea. The stars look up at the mighty God. The stars look down on me. The stars will last for a million years, a million years in a day. But God and I will live and love when those stars have passed away." We serve the eternal Father who came back to us so we could return to him. And our God is the only one who could ever do that. No one else has that skill on their resume. No one but Jesus. Praise God. Praise Jesus, the eternal one who can do all things. That Jesus, in this Advent season, is on his way. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a chance to be together. Thank you for the hope that we have. Remind us, Lord, that in the midst of all of the stuff that we do in this season, let us not forget the substance. The substance being that you loved us so much that you came back to get us so we could return to you. Lord, thank you for coming back. We sure did not deserve it. But you love us no matter what. And now as we celebrate your return to us so we can return to you, we ask that our lives would be lived with a bigger sense of the eternal, knowing that the struggles that we have right now are not forever, but you are. Knowing that the frustrations that we run into are not forever, but you are. Knowing that the things that trip us up, the things that make us sad, the things that make us happy, they don't last forever, but you do. Remind us that you stepped out of eternity into time so we could have a chance to be with you. Thank you, Lord. We give you the honor and the praise today. Amen. Let's stand and worship God.